Hebrews 11, for a scripture reading today. And this is not the last message in the series. We're going to finish with 12:1, because there's a therefore, and that means it's therefore what he was just said, so we can't miss. But our last in Hebrews 11, we'll be in verses 32 to 40, and the scripture will be up on the screen for you. Really focus on these verses. They're just absolutely amazing. Hear the word of the Lord. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, help us to see this these amazing last verses of this chapter as we see a better way in victory, a better way in tragedy, a better way that only you approve of, the only way that you can approve of. So as we walk into these last verses, grip our hearts with these amazing truths. And encourage us and challenge us. And Lord, if there's one or two or maybe more here that you have not opened their heart to live, to be saved by faith and to live by faith, I pray that you might do that. For those that might be struggling today with truly believing that you are sovereign, you are in control, you part seas, you knock down walls, but sometimes people die. Sometimes life is hard. I pray that you would encourage their faith, that they realize afresh and anew that they can trust you. You are trustworthy. So open these words to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Message 14 today in our series, Enduring Faith. One title for the message, Better. Better. And we'll see that word here in just a few moments. During each spring when I was in Bible college, we went on a tour, one part of the country, and it was kind of designed to promote the college, but we would sing in churches and Christian schools, and we just traveled for miles and miles and stayed in people's homes. And one year, we were near Canton, Ohio. Now, if you are a sports fan, you know what's in Canton, Ohio. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. So during the day, we had a little bit of a chance to go over. So we went and visited the Pro Football Hall of Fame, an amazing place. And in this Hall of Fame, there's all kinds of displays and memorabilia of all kind. There are footballs that were used that broke records that were in certain games and signed by all these historical figures. And there were even shoes and uniforms that these players wore, and these amazing displays of glass. And I remember they actually had the dirt from the field that's, I forget what record was broken, they actually dug up some of the dirt, and it was in this display. This is the dirt that this guy ran so many yards on. It was just absolutely amazing. There was one glass display of all the Super Bowl rings. And, of course, now there'd be many, many more, because that was many moons ago, right? And that was interesting to see all that gold and jewelry and diamonds and so forth, just pictures and so forth. But there was one room, which is the picture up on the screen, that is reserved for all the sculptures of those that are enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And their name is underneath there. I assume maybe the years that they played. And of course, maybe their birthday. I'm not sure. But these were all of the faces of the people that played the game better than anybody else or coached the game better than anybody else. And they are enshrined in this Hall of Fame. So you walk through this room and you see all these many different busts of all these people. And when you get elected in the Hall of Fame, now when these people sign their autograph, those that are still living, they usually sign HOF next to their autograph, Hall of Fame. Because this is like to them, epitome, the greatest honor that a pro football player could ever have or a coach could ever have would be to be voted into this elite group. Pro Football Hall of Fame. I thoroughly enjoyed my visit there. I don't think Kelly enjoyed it that much, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really fun. I wouldn't mind going back someday. And of course, baseball has it, and what's the other sport? Basketball has it, and I assume every badminton has one as well. I think there's a bowling Hall of Fame in St. Louis. So every group has this Hall of Fame. These are the ones that stand out. These are the ones we want you to never, ever forget. Well, that's Hebrews 11. Someone has called Hebrews 11 the Hall of Faith. And I've heard that for years and years. Hebrews 11 is a history museum highlighting all of these people that we've been going through that lived by faith. There are displays in this chapter of great acts of courage, believing God, great adventures where impossible things happen. This chapter is also full of pictures and trophies of grace and memorabilia and dirt and all of these things that you might see here on a Hall of Fame are there in the Hall of Faith. This is the section reserved for the busts of those that walked by faith. Just as you walk into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, here are people like Moses and Abraham and Rahab and Joseph and David and Samson that will briefly just highlight today in this Hall of Faith. And just as I enjoyed my visit to the Hall of Fame, I have thoroughly enjoyed my visit to this Hall of Faith once again. It's always a pleasant visit to go back to Hebrews 11. There's one characteristic that we saw in this whole chapter, and it was this. There's always an obstacle for God's children. You don't get saved and life gets better. Boy, there's a shocker. Your hope is better. Spiritual life is better. But you learn very quickly that when you walk truly by faith, that it's hard. And it's not a simple life. And all through this chapter, we've seen battles and opposition and impossible obstacles put before God's people that only God could come through and deliver them. It was truly a test of whether they believed what God said or not. And it doesn't take long that to realize also when you walk by faith, you have to deny self. Because self is the god of our lives, and every day is a battle with putting down self. When you look in the mirror, whether you like it or not, you see your god that you battle. You do. And even though we would maybe admit that, it's simply true. And it doesn't take long to realize that the Christian life is not junior church, where you go in there and you see beautiful flannel graph pictures when I was a kid, today videos, and where you get snacks and there's playtime, coloring books. I'm not saying it's wrong to have things for children, but you learn real quick that the true walk of faith is not junior church. Lord, where's the cookies? Where's the snack? Where's wrestling time, you know? I hope the preacher goes long today so we can keep playing and we can get more Kool-Aid. True Christianity is lived out on a battlefield. Did you hear that? True Christianity is lived in a battlefield, and those battles are not simple. They're hard. There are complicated things in life. Sometimes Christians lose. Sometimes Christians die. Sometimes Christians have their hearts broken. Sometimes Christians feel like hope is very, very, very far away. Sometimes Christians sense the activity of the devil and his demons in a very powerful way. The Christian life is hard. Do we got that down pat? Didn't Jesus say that? It's narrow and it's hard. But There is a word or a phrase in Hebrews all through the book that comes up over and over and over again, and it's the word better. This, walking by faith, is the better way. In all the sorrows and all the struggles that faith walkers live. In fact, here is a brief summary of Hebrews, which uses the word better. There's a better plan, better priesthood, better covenant, better sacrifice, better blood, and a better home forever. It's over and over and over again. So I want us to see, first of all, today, as we wrap this chapter up, the better way in victory. Now, we like that, don't we? We like those who are in the hall of faith and their sculptures are there and these great accounts that we read about them are there. It's awesome to win. It's awesome to see God knock down walls like he did in Jericho. It's awesome to see the powerful, wicked enemy of Egypt defeated. It's awesome to see the enemy recognize God's power and God's faithfulness to his people. It's awesome to see weak people vindicated. It's awesome to see this guy building a huge boat and the flood actually did come. It's awesome to see God take an old, decrepit woman. In fact, I think I just took her to x-ray. No, an old woman who could not have children. Thank you, Pat. She got a kick out of that. Have her womb awakened, and she laughed, and sure enough, God brought forth a child from her and from Abraham God's way. It's awesome to see God do those amazing things, and we read of all of those things, and in verse 32, it's interesting to see the writer of Hebrews says, and what more shall I say? Time would fail me. I read one author said, He experienced the struggle that preachers have always experienced. There's just not enough time to get it all out. He realized there wasn't enough time to share all the people that walk by faith. What can I say? There's not enough time. Then he goes off into what God brings to his mind, and he mentions these names of Gideon. Remember Gideon, who defeated this vast army with how many people? 300. He had the huge army. Remember, God kept dwindling it down. This is what you're going to use. Let's dwindle it down some more. This is what you're going to use. And 300 men with some broken pots and some lanterns and shouting, and God defeated this huge enemy, the Midianites. Then he mentions Barak there, who had a great battle over the Canaanite king and his commander, Sisera. Then he remembers Samson. Now, there's a character, right? Had a lot of failures, didn't he? Some big failures. But he delivered Israel from 40 years of oppression. He had great feats of strength, and he judged Israel for 20 years. He is in the hall of faith. Here's a guy mentioned next, Jephthah. Jephthah's not a very popular figure in the book of Judges. He was a son of a prostitute. He got kicked out of his family. He went out and raided the enemy. They realized he was a strong leader. They said, hey, we want you to come back and lead Israel. And he did. He defeated Ammon with great victories. And then we have listed here David, King David, who God brought from a little shepherd boy. Out in the fields, killing lions and tigers and bears, and with his slick stones, and was a beautiful musician, knew how to play musical instruments, and defeated wild animals. And then he defeated who? Goliath. You know the song, one little stone, he stood a sling, and the sling went round and round. You remember that story? He was the second king of Israel. He was in the line of Messiah. He wrote much of the Psalms, a mighty leader, a mighty warrior, a mighty musician, brave and courage, and a lover of God. He walked by faith. I mean, it's awesome to read of all these great stories. Then he mentions Samuel, a preacher of righteousness, a man that once took an evil king that they were supposed to kill, that Saul was to kill, King Agag. Anybody remember what Samuel did to King Agag? If you would have seen it, you would have gagged, right? He cut him up into pieces, and showing God's holiness and righteousness and showing Saul that he had failed. Samuel was an amazing leader, and he was an intercessor for God's people. He prayed. He was diligent. He was an inspired man, courageous. And when he died, the nation mourned. We've seen a basketball player die in the last couple of weeks, and the whole world is mourning because he could throw a ball through a metal hoop. I'm not saying it's not wrong to mourn somebody who dies, but I think in America, we get it all backwards. Heroes die every day and nobody knows, but if you can throw a ball through a hole, the whole world just bends over backwards and just falls down for you. The whole nation was mourning because their leader had died. He mentions the prophets who proclaimed God's message when nobody wanted to hear. Nobody wanted to hear, and they preached God's word, and they were stoned, and they were tortured, they were rejected, they were killed. And then he mentions some other things here, faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the lions. That would have been Samuel that we put in there, and some of those names there. Quenched the power of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that story? They simply believed God would not bow down to the music, to the big statue that Nebuchadnezzar put up. And just absolutely amazing faith and an amazing God. Daniel was a determined man. He was faithful. He was dedicated. He held up righteousness. Stopped the mouth of lions. Remember that? He's in the den of lions. And the guy that threw him there hates it. He's worried about him all night. And Daniel's sleeping on the lions, just having a good rest. All of these are mentioned here. Women received their dead back to life. Elijah and Elisha both were used to bring back life of these women's sons. And people are coming back to life. And I mean, this is the stuff you make movies about, right? A guy in a lion's den and women's, sons being raised from the dead and rivers being parted, seas being parted, and walls falling down, except the one wall where Rahab was at. I mean, this is special effect, 101. Amazing. Manna falling in the wilderness and God's presence with the cloud and the fire. And so he begins with this first section. There's a better way in victory. This is the way to live. There is no better way. And by the way, if it's better, if something else claims to be best, this is always better. So it can never be topped. And that's the word that Hebrews uses. And we love this section, don't we? We love it when we pray and God brings us the answer. We love it when God just moves on our behalf in amazing ways and seas part and mountains fall and walls fall and we just see God moving. We love the better way in victory, but let's move to the second point, which we may not like just as well. There's a better way in tragedy. This section always gets to me. Because you walk into this other room, and here's all these other busts of people who walked with the same God, with the exact same faith. And you walk into this room, and it's quiet. It's a special room. It's a room of silence. It's a room that brings you to tears. It's a room that causes you just to stop and meditate. You see, we're cheering at the ark being lifted up and the sea being parted and the Egyptians being killed and 300 men defeat an army of thousands. But this one sort of changes our perspective. You see, there's no change in God. He's the same God here as he was in the first verses. Holy, faithful, powerful. But did you see these verses? It starts at the end of, 35. Women receive back their dead by resurrection. Then he just immediately changes. I probably would have had a couple of sentences there to kind of prepare us, but he just immediately. But why does he just go right into the next one? Because it's still the better way. And he just jumps right into some were tortured. And so you're looking at all these sculptures in this hall of faith in this special room, and you see where they were tortured. This Greek word is tympanizo. It's a word for timpani, for beating a drum. And it was an instrument that was wheel-shaped, and they would stretch the criminal, the Christian, the faith walker, out on that drum and beat him. What? Yeah, walked by faith. But notice this in verse 35. Some were tortured, but notice this. They were given an opportunity to recant their faith, refusing to accept release so that they might again rise again to a, what's that word? Better life. All right, we're going to beat the pulp out of you. Recant your faith. They refused to do it because faith is a better way. They knew that they had a better life coming. They knew there was a resurrection coming. And so in this room, there is people that were tortured. Same God, same walking by faith. Verse 36, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. That's scoffing and scorn. They were made fun of. They were flogged. That's leather strips with metal intertwined in the leather strips and beaten with the leather strips. It says they were put in prison, chains and imprisonment. Joseph, Paul, Peter, many other, even way past what we might call Bible times, down through the years were put in prison simply because they believed by faith that Jesus Christ was God and he was the only way. Look at verse 37. They were stoned. You ever been hit by a rock? Yes, I like that. Yes. You know, I'm sure I have, but that's got. But they were stoned. Stephen was stoned. Paul was stoned. Naboth, who had the vineyard, was stoned by a wicked king. And surely countless others left for dead and killed. Why? Because they followed the better way. Look at verse 37. They were sawn in two. I don't know about you, but that first few back and forth wouldn't feel too good. Can you picture that? Simply because you believed in God, you believed in Christ Jesus, they lock you up, they imprison you, and they saw you in half. I'm not sure what the prosperity preachers in our day do with this chapter. My guess is they never go there, or they just say, well, they didn't have enough faith, which is a lie because they had faith, through faith. You keep walking in this room and you look around and you see in 37, they were killed in a violent way with the sword simply because of their faith. They were destitute and afflicted. That's amazing. Verse 37, they walked about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. When you walk by faith, you don't always get the best the world offers, but you get the best God offers. You know who the cavemen were? They were Christians. They were Christians who were not allowed to live in the town because they followed Christ, they followed God, and they lived. They had to find whatever they could to clothe themselves with, and they had to go up into the mountains and live in the caves, and they wandered about, verse 38, in the deserts and mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. Christians. Same God, same faithful God, same holy God, same walking by faith. But in this room, you don't feel like cheering. You feel like falling down because it makes you a little ashamed of what we complain of. Makes me a little ashamed. Makes me a lot ashamed. And I do believe it's coming. I believe it's coming back. It's going to come back. That's what the scriptures say. I remember when I was in college, and even after that, I'd go back to Florida and work the air show. And I might have shared this before, but I got to go in all kinds of 1940-plus airplanes, you know, World War II planes, Korea planes, Vietnam planes. And it was really neat because it was like stepping back in history. And that B-24 bomber came, and I got to walk up in the bomb section. I'm telling you what, that is tight. If you've never walked up in that, it is about as tight as can be. And they had the bomb bay doors open, and I pictured myself, what if I was over enemy lines? I'm looking out this little rectangular door that opened, and the bomb and shrapnel's blowing up all around me, and it was really kind of a moving experience. Then when I got outside the plane, outside of the airplane, about that big, it had the name of every single person who ever flew a mission on that plane. And there were rows and rows and rows and rows. Now, I've never been to the Vietnam Wall, but I've read where people say it's just absolutely a moving experience. Well, that's kind of what I felt as I thought, here are these men, and I don't think they put women up there back then, and I personally don't think they should put them up there now. And all of these names who gave their life or willing to give their life for me, and they never even knew me. It was quite moving. That's what this is. All of these people who walk by faith, who never knew any of you or me, but they knew they had a faithful God. And this room is a very solemn room, but there's also a better way because of what God says. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Wait a minute. Who does the world lift up? The superstars, the number one singers and the actors and the professional sports heroes and used to be astronauts and used to be presidents, used to be preachers, not much anymore. But the world lifts up heroes. They're on TV, they're in magazines, they're on the internet, they're on the movies we go watch, and they got all the things you could ever want. Who does God approve? Who meets God's divine approval? Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. God in his word makes a declaration that this world is not worthy of his faith walkers. This is whom God boasts of. Not because we earn anything, it's all of faith and grace. God boasts of his people who walk by faith and says, this world of the damned are not worthy of my children. They are not worthy of my children who bless them every day at their jobs and in their homes and in their neighborhoods and wherever they go and whatever they're involved of. This world does not hold a candle to my faith walkers. Ordinary, weak, tortured, burned in fire, whatever God brings in your life, they are simply not worthy of it. And what I got from this is very simply this. The only approval you and I need is God's, not this wicked, rotten, horrible world. If you're ever seeking the approval of somebody, get to this passage and realize this is what you need God to say about you. The world is not worthy of you because I touched your life, God says. I changed your life. What a shock it'll be when the world is gathered in judgment and God lifts up these weaklings who were beaten and stoned and tortured, and the world of the damned is lowered. God doesn't care how many Super Bowl rings we win or how many NBA championships we win or MVPs we have or what our bank account is or how many degrees are on our wall or whatever we hold valuable. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but they have to be put in perspective. God is not concerned with that. His main objective and goal for your life and my life is saved by faith and to walk by faith. There is no better way because there's coming a day where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And those who walk by faith have already done that. Those who don't will do it, but it will not save them. So even if God's way for you includes suffering, it's the better way. That's why the parable of the soils comes up again. Suffering comes, people walk away from God because it wasn't real. They never were truly changed. But true people walk by faith. Realize that walking by faith is the better way. It is the better way. It says right here, kill us, put us on the timpani. You know, put bamboo sticks under our fingernails. Put us out and bury us and put honey on our head and have fire ants come over us. Those are my favorite. Do whatever you want to do. Throw me in prison. Separate me from my family. Kill me. And if you kill me, where do I go? Straight to Uranus is the Greek word for heaven. Straight to Uranus. Straight to heaven. So you're just promoting me. It is a better way. What a great way to look at this. So it's a better way because of what God says. There's also, lastly, a better way because of future blessing. You know, what we do on this earth does matter, right? I mean, we're called to provide for our families. We're called to serve one another. We're called to be our very best at whatever we do. What we do on this earth does matter. But compared to eternity, what we do on this earth should match eternity. We should be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But some will not submit to God, and because their personal choices don't match God's choice for their life, so they choose to live a certain way for how many years? 20, 30, 40, 70, 90. That's not very long, is it? You know, I was talking this week with somebody. I could sign up for Social Security in 3 years. That just never dawned on me in my life. All right, class, I'm getting old. I'm not going to, but I mean, you got to be kidding me. This is a short life. But the faith way is the better way because of future blessing, and we already saw it in verse 35. Go ahead and kill me, torture me. I will not accept your agreement to release because I know I've got a better life the minute my last breath or my heart stops. I will be with Christ. Suffering, didn't we just read that? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy always comes in the morning. But notice verse 39. All of these, Moses and Abraham and David and Jephthah and Barak and all of those that walked by faith, and whether it was a victory or it was a tragedy victory that we read, all of these, though they were commended by God's testimony through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Well, there's a how do you do. You mean I got put on a timpani and got beaten to death? I wonder how long that would take to die on that torture. I think I'd be there for a while, you know, because, wow. And I'm not going to get what you promised. They didn't get what they promised here, but they got what God promised there. We already read that earlier, didn't we, in chapter 11? They were looking for a better kingdom, a kingdom built by God. So all of these did not get what was promised here. Our better life is not here. There are blessings here. Family and church family and winning chocolate and, you know, laughing together and watching people look silly doing charades. I mean, having children born and grandchildren born and having the joys that God gives us pales in comparison to what God has planned for us. Your better life is not here. It is better walking by faith here because of what is coming there. Verse 40, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect, the ones who walked before. Now, that's kind of a confusing verse. Let me see if I can make it simple. All those before Christ looked forward to Christ by faith. Even if they didn't know his name was Christ, we, on this side of the cross, look back. We have much more revelation than they had. If Christ had not come, all of these that we've been going through would not have their eternal life, their salvation, completed. They needed Christ to come, so to speak, in our lifetime. So it's kind of putting both of us and them together, which means a couple things. We have more revelation. We should have it easier to walk by faith than they did. And we should be walking by faith and looking to them, which is chapter 12, verse 1, as our sort of an encouragement and looking to Christ as well. So let's land the plane. Faith indeed is the better way. It is the better way. But it is the hard way. But it is the better way. It is worth living by faith and devoting your life to Jesus Christ because in the end, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. No one's going to care what I did. Oh, I would assume at the funeral, better. A few of you better talk good about me. All right, I'm going to have it recorded. But you know, after a while, nobody cares that I could move an airplane an inch from another airplane with my eyes closed and not hit it. Well, I had my eyes open. Nobody will care that I could play a horn or I could, and you, whatever you, God put in your life and gives you ability to do, you know, somebody else is going to come and take your place. The way it always happens. We're not indispensable. It's worth devoting your life to Christ because of what's coming. It's a better way no matter what suffering comes. I just thought of four thoughts here to tie this up. And some of these we've mentioned, but I think they're just worthy. In this hall of faith, we could make a list of all their failures, couldn't we? Some of those names we mentioned? What did David do? Remember? He's out there flying his remote control airplane on the balcony of his kingdom. He buzzes Bathsheba's. All right? So he stops it. I didn't plan on that. It just came out. All right. You know, is that mentioned in this chapter? It's not, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff. And not only did he take Bathsheba, but what did he do to Bathsheba's hubby? He killed him. Yeah, I like Jim's. Yeah. Killed him. Got him drunk, tried, what, three or four different plans to try to get him to go into Bathsheba so he could go, whew, they'll never know it's mine. You couldn't go to CBS and get the little test back then, you know, or whatever. There wasn't any DNA tests either by Jerry Springer or whatever. So, but I just find it amazing. What about Samson? I mean, he was, every time he turned around, Mom, Dad, get me that woman. Yeah, but she's from the Philistines or whatever, Timnath, whatever that was. And isn't there somebody among God's people that you can marry? I want that woman there. I don't know how Samson talks, but anyway. But isn't it interesting that it says there that they didn't know that it was of God? Now, that's a mystery, isn't it? God's in sovereign over everything, even though that was Samson's fault. Samson messed up big time. You know, he went on a date on Valentine's Day with Delilah. Not the one on the radio, all right? It was Delilah, right? Yeah. Where's your strength, buddy? Oh, well. I forget what it was. Tie a rope, do this. And he kept getting closer and closer and closer. It's my hair. But is that mentioned here? Not mentioned at all. We could go down the list. Absolutely amazing. Don't let failure stop you from living by faith. Every one of us have failures in our life. Every one of us. Every one of us could write a book of where we wish we did not do that. That we wish that that wasn't a part of our history. But isn't God amazing that he said, Rahab the prostitute. There's not one thing mentioned here. None of these. Absolutely amazing. Second thing, in this hall of faith, we have ordinary people who simply believed what God said. So don't let fear stop you from living by faith. These people were just ordinary people. They just were ordinary, everyday people. Mary's not mentioned, but she was just an older teenager, and she just an ordinary person. By the way, you're pregnant. And the King Messiah is inside you. What? Be it as you say, Lord. So you look at yourself in the mirror. Not only do you and I see our God that we have to fight against, but we always see a pretty ordinary person there, right? All right, drop your pride. We're all just pretty ordinary. But that's not a requirement. I mean, how do I want to word this? Maybe that is a requirement for living by faith. Let me reword it this way. If you're ordinary, and you are, you can live by faith. God doesn't call superstars, though that's who we follow. Bring a superstar to the Ford Center and we'll pack it with 50,000 people. Bring a preacher to a church and we'll pack it with 20. We flock after superstars. God does not call superstars. He calls ordinary people who simply say, I believe you. And then he decides to use you as he sees fit. The study of the gifts, God meters out the gift that he decides. And some God blesses huge ministries, some God blesses with small. But they're all ordinary people. So don't let that stop you if you say, I can't do anything for God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Third, in this hall of faith, we see the focus was on eternity. Eternity. They all looked to a future city, a future country, a future place. This was not home. So don't let apparent losses stop you or discourage you, because you're going to have them. Don't let the charms of the world deceive you, because God's charms are infinitely, eternally better. Don't let living for today stop you from living by faith and focusing on the hope of eternity. It's better. And fourth, before we land this plane, in this hall of faith, it wasn't the results that truly mattered for God's approval, was it? How do we know that? Because sometimes the sea parted and the walls fell. Sometimes people got tortured, sawn in half, and killed. It wasn't really what you did that mattered for God's approval. What was it? It was simply believing him. It was just walking by faith. I don't know about you, but I find it pretty encouraging. I find that pretty encouraging. So never forget that. The results are God's, and that's a lesson I have to learn every day. But what receives the approval of holiness, and I'm not talking about the Pope, I'm talking about true holiness, God, is walking by faith. I believe God. If I'm thrown in prison, I believe God. If the sea parts and we walk across, I believe God. If I get sawn in half, I believe God. If the walls fall down, I believe God. If I get thrown in prison, I believe God. If a woman past childbearing age supernaturally is with child, the covenant child, I believe God. And on it goes. So in eternity and on judgment day, and I said it before, it really won't matter how many rings you own or how big your house was or how many 300 games you bowled or how good you looked in high school. That was a comb and hair, by the way. Because when I was in high school, you had that comb in your back pocket 24/7, right? Remember that? Constantly pulling it out. That's why it falls out. Right? Won't matter what you look, won't matter you were the king or queen. Just not that some of those things are wrong. Again, we should be the very best for God and whatever he puts in our life. But in the hall of faith, it's eternity. It's faith that matters. Whether God calls you to conquer giants or to be tortured. And I'll be totally honest. I'd much rather throw a rock at a giant's eye and have him fall down and cut off his head than to be sawn in half by somebody. How about you? But God knows what he's doing. Faith is the better way. It's always been the better way and always will be the better way. Father, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Whether you call us to triumph or tragedy triumph, it's always the better way. So, Lord, for those in our assembly and our family members that are walking in hard, difficult times now, encourage them to realize there is a better day coming. This is not it. For those that see victory after victory, may they give you the glory. For those of us that many times see struggle after struggle after struggle, may we also give you the glory and praise you and be thankful in our hearts that there is a resurrection coming. And this life on earth is simply here for us to bring you glory and to serve you and to wait for the better way. So somehow, Spirit of God, help us to realize that suffering's the better way for you. Just as good as walls falling down, old ladies getting pregnant, seas parting, enemies defeated. So encourage us, Lord, as we sing. And help us to make decisions, Lord, that please you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that you have not opened their heart by faith to be saved, to be your child, awaken their soul today. In Christ's precious name, amen.